This episode contains content which might be harmful or traumatizing. Please feel free to step away and take a moment to yourself. If you have experienced domestic or intimate partner violence, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline on 1-800-799-7233. If you have experienced sexual abuse, call the free confidential National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-HOPE or 4673, or access the website 24/7. I'll link that in the description below.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hash It Out Podcast. Thank you for joining us today, and I'm looking forward to discussing today's topic. We will be discussing healthy relationships, as it is the month of love. What does a healthy relationship look like? What does an unhealthy relationship look like? How to identify online impact and warning signs. Our conversation doesn't limit to a partner-to-partner relationship, but includes friends and family relations. Today, I'm joined with my co-host, Medha. Medha, how are you doing? How's the semester going for you since we last talked?
It's been tough, I would say that. It's been chaotic, and today it's raining quite brutally, and I washed my hair before getting out. But then I realized that my jacket, like I had, when I washed my jacket, I'd removed like the top part of it. So like I've forgotten, and now my hair is messy. But apart from
looks
that,
good to me.
apart from that, I think everything is, I mean, it's my last semester, so I'm looking forward to just getting done with everything. But yeah, how about you? How has semester been for you?
It's been very busy. I thought my semester, like class schedule, it looks better than last semester, but yet I feel like I'm just as busy, or if not busier. So maybe I filled up that time that I used to have lab, because I don't have any labs this semester. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe I filled that up with other things and I'm just really busy. I joined an a cappella group on campus.
Okay.
Yeah. So
is it the one that performed at Regatta?
No, it's not the one that performed at Regatta, but we are performing at the Jagathon.
Ooh, that's nice.
So if you see us, say hi and everything. I'm a little nervous.
You got this.
But I'm excited. It's cool to join something where you feel that you belong. Of course, I feel that way with Social Justice Scholars as well. But it's just like another way to meet other people and have with a common interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does sound exciting. Let's get started with today's topic, shall we?
Absolutely. Let's go. Let's hash it out. Okay, so I think this topic of healthy relationships is important because navigating relationships in general is difficult, and especially in college, because you're still learning who you are and you're learning about yourself. And I think it's important to understand your boundaries and what is healthy and what's not. According to Healing Abuse Working for Change's website, 21% of college students report having dating violence by a previous partner, which is also considered domestic violence. Why do you think domestic violence is so prevalent in college, and why is it not really spoken about? Because it's truly, I haven't really heard too many people speak out about this type of domestic violence.
Yeah, I think with the relational violence puts sort of everyone at risk. It's not only like the physical, but also the mental health of students. And it's, I think sometimes, at least coming from Indian culture that I do, we don't like to put, or we like to portray out to the society that everything is fine in our household, because we don't want someone to, I would say, like look into bad eyes. Like I know for sure that anytime when my parents fought, like my mom in the end of the day would always try to stay silent because she didn't want the neighbor to know what's going on in the household. So it's more about like what would the, in Hindi we say log kya kahenge, which means like what would people say. And I think somewhere down the line, like it's at least the society that I come from, it's always, oh, it's shameful for me also, like I didn't fight back, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of stigma around this whole topic in order to be aware, as well as to voice the trauma that you're going through. And I think within, when it comes to college students facing domestic violence, yes, it affects their mental health, but at the same time, it also affects their future academic success. So according to the survivors and the experts, like students who have experienced abuse may be so upset or preoccupied that they find it difficult to finish their work, concentrate during exams, or even show up to class. Like some people might opt to put off their education or even drop out, which would jeopardize their chances of a successful profession or financial future. So many suffer from these financial fallouts, as well as because of failing grades or dropping classes can result in losing their scholarship, their financial aid, their tuition payments, and so on. And I think when it comes to healthy relationship, like the connections we build with others are so critical to our social, emotional, and physical health. Like according to Dr. Barton Goldsmith on Psychology Today, interdependence is where two people or both strong people are involved with each other, but without sacrificing themselves or compromising their values. And you know, I think about reading when I read these examples online, as well as some of on how college campuses are preventing domestic violence on their campus, I think after all, love is not a prison, you know, it's a choice. So when we do pick a partner, we pick a story, and we pick their story, and that story becomes the life that we live. So
right,
a toxic person rarely modifies their conduct, you know, so frequently their focus and the blame they assign are only on the things that change. So it's usually just a matter of time until your name appears on the list of individuals they want to blame. And mainly if it's lengthy, you know, a relationship like that needs drama to sort of boost, to feel genuine, needs to be improved, like in chemistry. So I think once you start considering what you do to make the other person happy, you're caught in this like downward cycle where you are sort of continuously feeling guilty, and you gradually lose yourself while trying to maintain that relationship. So I think your emotions vanish and your sense of identity vanishes. So like a lot of my friends, including there are times me myself, like a lot of people by the end of it, they're like, I don't know who I am, you know, like you sort of lose a sense of yourself because Absolutely. You're so indulged in trying to make someone else that you forget like your any sense of judgment because you've been manipulated so many times. So I think like the arch of this is kind of, in the end of the day, when you're having an unhealthy relationship, your life will turn into some sort of a struggle or like an anxious, stressful event. Like, you know, like I have one of my friends who recently got out of a very toxic relationship. Like I remember every day she used to live on this like, you know, cliff where she was like, I don't know how he's gonna be today. Like if is he gonna, there were days where he used to treat her like an absolute princess, love her, and the next day used to like treat her like absolute trash. And she's every morning she used to be like, I don't know which side of him I'm gonna get today. And I'm like, and that's the thing, because by the end of it, like even she used to think we were crazy for telling her like, hey, you need to like get out. Yeah, but that's what these relations do to you. Like they make you lose your sense of identity in itself.
Absolutely. And you know, the sad thing is, like the past couple months I've seen this specific like celebrity couple that they're like, one is a hip-hop artist and I guess she is too. But yeah, I've been seeing the same couple on social media, people saying that these are couple goals, and yet they're like beating on each other. Like there's videos of them beating up on each other. The girl lost her tooth in one of the situations, and then she tried to get a fake tooth, and then the boyfriend told her like, take that out. Like, I don't want you to have a fake tooth. You know, basically like stripping her down of her self-identity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like her self-confidence. But the thing is, she used to be a track athlete. So she's very athletic. And people are posting pictures of what she used to look like when she was a track star. And she kind of like, you know, after she graduated high school, she like stopped running track. And it just shows like how, like she does not look healthy right now. She, you know, obviously has sustained injuries, and apparently she's now like having his child, and they're still like beating up on each other. So it goes to show like how sometimes the society uplifts those type of storylines, because now these blogs and things are putting that story on social media and pumping every time they do something, every time they go to jail and come out. And the thing is that the reason why they can't really be charged is because they're like doing it to each other.
Yeah.
So when does domestic violence, like, it seems like they don't consider it domestic violence if both of them, they call it like a domestic dispute, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where both of them are actually abusing each other, but they can't get charged and they can't separate. Like, I feel like there should be something to intervene in those situations, especially now that there's a child involved. But that's neither here nor there. And it made me think about, if young people are on social media and they're seeing this, I hope that they know that this is a sign of domestic abuse. And these are some of the signs I wanted to share. So if somebody abandons you in a place where you don't know, kind of mm-hmm. disorienting you, making you feel unsafe, attacks you with weapons, that one, you would think it's a given, but a lot of people, they can, you know, experience that and not say anything. Keeps you from eating or sleeping or getting medical care. That's part of that controlling aspect. Locks you in and out of your house, punches, pushes, kicks you, bites you, pulls your hair, keeps close tabs on where you go and who you're with and who you communicate with, makes you ask for an okay to see family and friends, to try to, you know, isolate you from the people that you feel safest with, keeps cash and credit cards from you, puts you on an allowance, and makes you explain every dollar you spend. And this is really crazy because a lot of times in these situations, the person is working, the partner is work, both of the partners could be working, mm-hmm. and one is controlling all of the finances. Steals money from you and your friends, won't let you have any of the basic needs, and embarrasses you in front of others, making you feel smaller than you are. And domestic violence does not just include physical, it also includes even the mental things that I explained on here, and just even emotionally pulling away. And like you said earlier, like treating you well one day and thinking like, wow, this is the best guy ever, and then the next day treating you horribly.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of times people hang on to the good and think like, oh, but there's, you know, there's a possibility that one day this could be him forever or her forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with this, it just keeps that toxic cycle going and going, and it feeds that person who's toxic and maybe having battles from their own toxic relationships that they've had prior to you.
Yeah, I think that one aspect where, you know, we talk about, I feel like it takes a lot of courage to walk out of like relationships,
yes.
you know. So even when at times where, that's why, like, I feel with the examples that I've seen, it's, you know, that continuous cycle of fighting and then coming back together. And
yes.
it sort of continues. And I feel like it's so draining that it's unable to recognize, because you see one day something is being treated well, so you see that as a positive sign, you see that as a sign of hope. And you know, in any situation, or even whether it's in an unhealthy relationship, whenever someone is, I guess, in a situation where everything looks wrong, even one sign of positivity gives them hope that, oh, things will get better. And I feel like it's that human need of like recognizing there is one positive thing happening. So maybe there's a chance of things getting better. And that's like the one thing where if in a relationship that you have like all this drama, which is so consuming and it is so directed at you, like this going back and forth of like one day everything is nice, the next day it's like they just treat you like trash, it's so draining, and it has a cost. Like, it's just completely draining, and your energy is depleted when you're in an unhealthy relationship. Because, you know, like, I've seen my girlfriends like lose weight, I've seen my girlfriend starve themselves. I feel like you just want to get away from them when you're with them, you know, like the idea that I wish I was somewhere else. And you get uneasy when you do like pull off. So the manipulation has consequences, like drama encourages more drama. And when it's sort of, you start to think that this partnership is what you need, it's actually that the other person is manipulating you into thinking that you are the only person that, because like you said, when you're in an unhealthy relationship and when someone is trying to control you the person who's controlling you always wants to put out an image that they are the only one for you. And hence, whatever it is for any help, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, like, they should be the only person you should be seeking out for. And I feel that is where the blind spot is created. And in the sense that you never really feel liberated, you know, like, you always feel it's difficult to carry on a conversation without bringing up their name. Like, you can't think of anything else. Like, people leave your life invisibly. And I feel like with my friends, there were at times where some of them, or even with myself individually, where I felt, oh, it's nice this person is away, I still have, like, my partner with me, you know, like. But then I realized, like, if your partner is cutting you off from your friends, or cutting you, and if those are good friends, like, before the partner has come in your life, you have had healthy relationships with all of these people,
mm-hmm.
then there's something wrong with the person who came after. Because that's the thing, you lose a sense of judgment, you lose a sense of, like, analysis in those situations, because you always think that since this so-called love, which is not really love, you perceive yourself as everything is fine, you know, as long as you have this person behind your back. And I feel that you've given up on so many things over the years that you think that you can't live without them. Hence, like you said, that for many of these partners, they're reliant on, like, they are the only ones earning. So they're probably reliant on the financial support that these people give them. So your life now has a significance as a result of, like, the sacrifices you have made to maintain that connection with them. So I have had, like, one of my girlfriends, she's actually thinking of, once she's graduating, just, like, being a housewife, which is great if you want to, but he wants to do that. She doesn't want to do that. She wants to, like, work. She wants to work for a non-profit, and he's not allowing that. And I feel that is really toxic, because I feel like that is one way of making someone feel like, oh, like, I am all that you need, you know, like, that is where you start manipulating people into thinking that the other person doesn't really have a sense of identity apart from being my partner. So, I don't know, I feel like you find yourself wondering, like, who you are without this person, and you don't have many answers to that question, you know. And I feel those are some of the, I think, self-awareness in terms of warning signs that could get ahead with. But yeah, I think that is what sticks out to me the most whenever I think of these things. Yep.
And to go off of that, I feel that, you know, there is a healthier way, like with the money thing,
mm-hmm.
and being a stay-at-home mom. I've seen an example on TikTok where the person is has her partner, and her partner works, and she stays home with the kids, and she controls the money. Like, she, of course, he has access to it, like, he can see it, but she does all the budgeting and pays the bills, and she has access to the money, which you don't oftentimes see in those power dynamics. And that, you're right, it can make that person feel like they don't have an identity outside of being a mom and a wife. And, you know, you don't, when you're at things, you can't talk about anything else but your husband and your kids. It can be hard. But I think if people are, if those women are given the opportunity to, if even if they want to be a stay-at-home mom, if they want to go out and volunteer, if they want to be a part of clubs and organizations, they should be able to be a part of that. And just don't get lost in a relationship, you know, regardless of if it's marriage or a friendship or anything, because that can lead to codependence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think so far we have been discussing relationship or someone's relationship with others, but what about your relationship with yourself? You know,
Ooh. We
all succumb to, like, negative behaviors that stunt our development and enjoyment. So our worst, I think we are our worst enemy. At least I can very much adhere to that, because I feel I participate in a lot of negative self-talk and a lot of, like, self-depreciation.
Absolutely.
We all possess, like, the abilities to get rid of this, you know, this negative mm-hmm. poison. And I think it takes a lot of bravery to make a positive connection with ourselves. So you may not always look well while your emotions are, like, boiling up, but I think accepting yourself begins with facing harsh traumas and problems in your own life. Like, shaming yourself for those mistakes won't help us succeed in life. And I feel love is kind of accepting the way you are and improving and trying to make a best version of yourself, whatever the best version looks for you. So I think you can't just love the attractive aspects of yourself. You also have to love and improve upon the things that you may find ugly about yourself. I think a negative relationship with yourself is indicated by negative self-talks, and it completely wrecks your life. You know, the caliber of your life is influenced by self-talk, and it has impact on your talent, on your abilities, your relationships and career. It creates opportunities or place restrictions. So negative self-talk prevents you from being happy. I think everyone has an internal critic, but to see it, and we do see it as like an unwanted guest who travels in with your thoughts with you. So you pay attention to your inner voice merely for like a day. Whether you feel angry or embarrassed, like write down your feelings and observations, and to work toward a healthy relationship with yourself, clearly describe the one that you currently have. And like a challenge or an assignment would be to turn that negative speech you use to your advantage. You know, like, for instance, instead of saying I can't do something, like, just try to navigate on why you think you can't do something. Like, right. What are the barriers you think, and how can you overcome these barriers, you know? Or is it just you're just having like a sense of putting yourself down, and there's not much of logical reasoning on why you're saying you can't do something? So I think security just doesn't come from like pleasing people. It makes you more anxious and that dashes your hope. So I think having a sense of understanding that, yes, criticizing yourself is important, being self-critical is important, but finding a fine line between putting yourself down versus criticizing yourself to have a better outcome are two different things.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you bring up self-talk, because I recently went to a conference and one of the speakers talked about how when we, you know, observe others, we observe their strengths all the time. Like, he gave the example of like when we watched Rihanna at the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and people had a lot to say, they had different opinions, but Rihanna is known for what? Being an entertainer, for singing, for giving us a show. And that is her strength. Like, that is what she's being paid for. So we're critiquing her strength. We don't know about her weakness. We don't know, you know, she's aware of that. But oftentimes with ourselves, we don't look at the good things that we do. We don't look at how amazing we are and what talents that we have and gifts and all those things. Oftentimes we critique the worst part of us, the things that we think are so bad about ourselves. And then we continue to tear ourselves down from that point.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, what if we led with how, you know, great, like Medha's great at being a host on this podcast, at researching, at organizing this podcast. And, you know, yet, you know, sometimes we will, you know, listen to the podcast and you'll say something like, oh, I didn't like how I sounded on that. And I'm like, what? You were saying amazing things. The content is there. The people come back every single time to hear you speak. And so I think, you know, that's something that I'm working on, trying to lift myself up. And, you know, also when I hear others, you know, talking down on themselves, try to encourage them in that moment and say, hey, you know, be gentle to yourself and encourage them like, no, you're actually good at that. Like, you're actually amazing. And I hope that you know that, you know, so.
Thank you. I don't know. When I was looking up this like episode, and we had the way we were going to do with healthy relationships,
mm-hmm.
I was discovering on like how to have a healthy relationship with yourself. And there were, you know, there were these warning signs on like how there were warning signs for, you know, recognize your partner might be unhealthy for you. But there were also these warning signs on recognize how you might not have a healthy relationship with yourself. And I was going through these warning signs and I'm like, hold on, this sticks. Like, yes, I participate in like hate talk, like self-hate talk. I participate in all of that. Like, I participate in like saying no to myself or saying yes to everybody and saying no to myself. Like, I was just realizing, like, I really have an unhealthy relationship with myself, because there were like 15 checklists and I crossed at least 13 of them. And I'm like, I need to really work.
I need to do that checklist.
I'll send you the checklist. But there was like this one indicator where, you know, we have this inability to like say no. And I feel like our lack of like self-respect is like a flashing indicator of that. You know, like why should like they treat you more favorably? Or like, I feel I have to apologize for saying sorry for who I am or what I want, like all the time. And it's that social convention swimming against like the current of can be art, which is like, oh, I don't want to upset someone. I don't want to, like, displease. Is that a word? Like,
yeah.
Basically, yeah. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure I please them all the time. And I make sure I'm in their good books. So I'm just going to say yes to everything that they want me to do. And that's unhealthy because you're putting someone else before, like, you put yourself. So it's like, why do someone else have, like, more favor in your life than you have for yourself? Like, it sounds absurd. And I feel like the living a remarkable life, like in all the books that I've read so far and like the memoirs, it's having the ability to say no to things that make you feel bad. And I feel after all, being happy isn't just about taking on more, but also about knowing when to say no. And I guess now I'm learning how to say no, because you don't know how people will perceive certain things. So even in that case, like, I also has to, like, why can't I just say a normal no, you know? But I have to find some polite way, or polite, like, turn around, a sweet way to say a no to somebody.
Or and find this elaborate excuse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there were like so many times where like I have said, oh, I'm sick, I can't really be there. But I wasn't sick, I just didn't want to be there. Like, but I can't just shamelessly say that, you know, because I feel guilty in terms of saying that, hey, I'm just going to take this time for like solitude. Like, I really need this for myself. But then I really have to put out an excuse where I don't seem like I don't want to be with them, you know? And that is like one of the things where I realized like my inability to say no is actually like putting myself down. And that's like one of the things that always comes back to me.
Right. Because if you don't have the ability to say no, when it comes to relationships, those boundaries are completely lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you said about how you don't want to displease anyone, well, if you sometimes in my mind, it's like I've said yes to this person every single time. And right now I want to say no. And then sometimes you've said no. And then that person is upset now. They're like, but how come you were able to do it last time? And I think that's why we have that constant cycle of this behavior, is because everyone else has the expectation that everyone is going to say yes to them.
Yeah.
And we have this expectation that we need to say yes to everyone.
Yeah.
So we're all just screwed up in certain ways that we need to learn to not just be able to say no, but also to accept other people's no's. And that may be some listeners on here. Maybe you don't like to hear the word no.
Mm-hmm.
It you have to be, in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to both use the word no and accept the word no.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. very
so helpful. After talking about everything to do with relationships with our friends, our family, our coworkers, or just anyone in between, but most importantly, ourselves. What are some resources here on campus that we can utilize, or even outside of campus, for anyone listening, that they can, you know, find the help that they need if they or someone they know is dealing with any of the domestic violence or toxic relationships we spoke about earlier?
Yes, so IUPUI, our university, offers like a confidential advocacy services to all survivors of dating, interpersonal, domestic violence, stalking, sexual assault, and more. To make an appointment, it's basically CAPS, which helps us with counseling and psychological services in Walker Plaza 220. And I also drop their email ID as well as their phone number in the description or episode description. But they have a lot more like resources as well as education and training around these topics. And the Office of Wellness, Health and Wellness, they do a lot of events around healthy relationships and education as well as awareness around them. I would highly encourage you to follow them on their social media. It's IUPI Wellness on Instagram. And also some of the external resources like outside of IUPUI, Coburn Place in downtown Indy. The Coburn Place provides a sympathetic support and secure housing options to survivors of domestic violence and their children. They shed a light on a course of action that would revive hope and advance healing. So they essentially provide transitional housing. So what that means is you can, a domestic violence survivor if they are having troubles with financial or housing support that they need, they can apply to Coburn Place to have a apply for a spot to live there. And I think there is a 6-month wait list to get in, but as long as they provide you a support, they give you a house mm-hmm. where you can live and provide for you as well as your children if you have any. But that's one of the resources. The other one is also Julian Center, which also provides domestic violence support, awareness, and any amount of legal advice for the survivors. But I'll have all the information, like contact information as well as websites, in our episode below, so you can check them out.
Okay. Thank you for listening to today's episode about healthy relationships. We're excited to continue on this journey with our Hash It Out podcast this semester. So feel free to communicate with us on social media. Let us know your input on this topic or any future topics that you'd like to discuss. Have a great day. Bye.